So we are almost done, not quite yet, but we are almost done with this series that we are on called The Garden. Somebody say The Garden. Somebody say The Garden. Right? And we have been talking about the state of our hearts. And this beautiful bucket here is a representation of our hearts. You know, when you look in the Bible, in a couple different places, it compares our hearts and our lives to gardens or soils that or soil that things can be planted in, man. And so we've been dwelling in Matthew chapter 5. And so if you have your Bible, how many guys brought your Bibles with you? Ooh, how many guys brought your phone with you? There you go. How many guys didn't bring your Bibles or your phones? All right. So, but Matthew chapter 5, man, if you have your Bibles, you can turn them on and go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. It says this, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. I skipped verse 7, I'm sorry. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Verse 9, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. And verse 10, God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And so we said, man, that Matthew chapters 5 through 7, right? This is pivotal scripture. Like, this is Jesus' first message. This is a big deal. And all throughout Matthew chapter 5 through 7, Jesus is talking to us about the importance of what is planted in our hearts. Because listen, what is in your heart will direct the rest of your life. Listen, if you have some funky stuff in here, it's going to show later. In fact, your problems tomorrow are really issues of the heart today. Okay? So listen to me, friend. I say this because I love you, but you need to pay attention to what you are planting in your heart. Okay? Because listen, you can either reap issues tomorrow or you can reap blessings tomorrow. And I don't know about you, man, but I want to reap blessings because I planted the right stuff in my heart. All right? So we've been talking about, man, this Matthew chapter 5, right? And we said that in this section of scripture that we just read, that Jesus gave us 8 things that we need to plant in our hearts, right? Or 8 principles, 8 values that we need to adopt in our lives, right? And the first one was this, man, is that I need to realize my need for God, right? Second one is this, it's godly sorrow, is that, man, I need to be my sin needs to mess with me, okay? That's the best way I know how to say it right now. Number 3 was humility or becoming low. Number 4 was mercy, or basically that's showing people forgiveness. Number 5 is purity of heart. Last week, we talked about craving righteousness. And so this week, I want to talk about the 7th thing that we're called to plant in our hearts. But before I get into that, how many of you guys know that there are some things that mix well together? Right? Like, give me some things that go well together. Cookies and milk. What? Strawberries and ice cream. Brownies and ice cream. Thank you. Cereal and milk, right? Thank you. Like peanut butter and jelly, right? How do you guys know that there are some things that you're supposed to put together, right? Right, I mean, they mix well. They make a good pairing, like, right, movies and popcorn. Chocolate and pickles. Are you a pregnant woman right now? You're throwing out crazy combinations, bro. So just like there are things that mix well together, how many guys know that there are some things that don't mix well together? Grits and salt. How about grits and sugar? Does anybody put sugar in their grits? Is anybody in sin tonight that we need to pray for? Come on. How many of you guys know that, like, forks and power outlets don't mix well together? Yeah. My daughter found that out the hard way, y'all. She said, right? How many of you guys know that Apple and Microsoft don't mix well together, right? How about iPhones and being dropped? Does anyone have a busted screen before? Right? How about brushing your teeth and drinking anything? Right, or eating it, right? How many of you guys, like, you brush your teeth, like, you get some type of juice and you drink it, and it is, like, disgusting, right? Right? Well, man, on a scientific level, right, there are things that don't mix well together either. And the one that I want to talk to you about tonight is, how many of you guys know that water, right, you guys should know this, and oil do not mix well together, right? How many of you guys know that? Right, all right? So listen, I'm going to take my water here, and I'm going to pour it in this jar. Get out of here. I'm actually going to need this here. So, like, I got my water, right? And my water is great by itself. But how many of you guys know, right? Listen, I can add a bunch of stuff to water, and it will dissolve. I can add salt to water, and it's going to dissolve, right? I can add sugar to water, and over time, it's going to dissolve, right? I can add stuff to water, and it's going to dissolve. And, but there's this thing about oil, where I can add oil to water, right? Here it goes. Doesn't that look disgusting, y'all? Look, and watch it. Watch it separate. Do you see how these two things don't mix at all, right? Sheesh. Right, listen, I can take it, man, and I can, it doesn't matter how much I shake it up, right? Like, shake, shake, shake. It doesn't matter what I do to this thing.
You just defined science.
I just redefined science, y'all.
It's doing it.
Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Over time. It's starting to separate, y'all. And I didn't test the science experiment out before I preached. There it goes. Boom, listen. Y'all see it. PWC water. Listen, over time, is that these two things do not mix no matter what you do. No matter what you do, is that eventually oil and water will separate. Does anybody know why? And this is not density. All right? These things don't mix because of two factors, all right? Two scientific factors. The first one is entropy, and the second one is energetics. Okay? I watched a 5-minute YouTube video on this. Making myself sound smart right now. But listen, to make something, I don't know if it's complicated or not, but to me it was a little complicated, all right, because I'm not a science guy at all. I'm more of a math guy. But to make this simpler for you guys, it's this, is that whenever oil mixes with water, what happens is that the molecules are different, right? And so when the oil tries to mix with the water, is that the water doesn't find the oil attractive. And because the water doesn't find the oil attractive, right, chemical bonds, right, because the water doesn't find the oil attractive, is that it actually rejects the water and pushes it away. No matter what you do, water will never find oil attractive. Sorry, Sam. No, eighth grade Latoya never likes you, bro. You were water, she was oil. So listen, just like on a scientific level, right, water and oil don't mix. Spiritually, there are two things that are like water and oil that will never, ever mix. Never, ever mix. These two things is that they're never going to see eye to eye. I mean, they're never going to fit well together. But like, this is irreconcilable. It's Jesus in the world. Jesus and the world are like oil and water, and no matter what you do, these two things will never mix. Are you hearing me tonight? Is that when I say the world, I'm not talking about like planet Earth. What I'm talking about is the systems that have been set up by the devil that are in direct opposition to God and his ways. Is that the Bible uses the phrase the world, right? You see it all over the Bible. Like you go to 1 John and it's like, don't have the love of the world in you. And you're like, am I supposed to hate trees? Like, what does that mean? Okay, God's not talking about hating the planet, okay? What he's talking about is this, is that when the devil, right, he was thrown to earth, we know that, right? That the devil was thrown to earth. The Bible says that the devil is the god of this world, or is the god of this age, and that he has set up systems in place to blind people and deceive people and to go against God. Right? That's what we mean when we say the world. In fact, look at 2 Corinthians 4:4. It says this. It says, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Right? So Jesus, representing the kingdom of heaven, and the world representing the kingdom of darkness will never mix, because to the world, Jesus and his ways will never seem attractive, right? Because the systems of the world have literally been set up to reject Jesus. Are you catching me tonight? Listen, I'm just laying the foundation for the message tonight. So this is why the seventh thing that we're called to plant in our gardens. Are you ready for this? You ready for this? You ready for this? The seventh thing that you're called to plant in your garden tonight, this is going to be a real popular message, is suffering. Is suffering. Hear me tonight. Jesus wants you to plant the flower of suffering tonight in your garden. See, when we look at Matthew chapter 5 again, this time we're going to read verses 10 through 11. This is what it says. It says, God blesses those who are persecuted. Somebody say persecuted. Somebody say persecuted. Come on, somebody say persecuted. Come on, a quiet church is a? A quiet church is a? Somebody say persecuted. For doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Listen to this. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Verse 12, be happy about it. Like what? Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. Now listen, this is probably the most surprising beatitudes. Like they're all upside down. They all kind of make you tilt your head and say what? But this one out of all of them, right? Jesus is telling us, hey, listen, I want you to be glad. Like, come on, how many of you guys have ever had a happy moment before? Right, remember, maybe like you got something that you wanted and you were certain, like maybe your parents got you the car, right? Anybody? No? Okay. Like, come on, maybe, okay, how many of you guys know like on Christmas morning when you get the thing that you want? I mean, I'm just throwing it out there, man. I'm just throwing it out there. Rico got a car. Right, come on, like y'all know the feeling where it's like it's Christmas morning, you go to the Christmas tree, like you unwrap the gift that you want, and it's the thing that you've been asking for, right? Like, and you're just like, you're lit up inside, you're like, dude, I finally got it. Jesus is saying this, I want you to take that much excitement that you have about getting the gift that you want, right, and I want you to be that glad about suffering for me. And I don't know about you, but I'm like, Jesus, what? Like, that's wild, y'all. That's wild. See, this is the part of Christianity, man, that no one likes to talk about. Right? Is that, like, we all like to talk about, like, how God's going to bless us. Somebody's calling me from Rural Hall, NC. I don't know who that is. I don't know where Rural Hall is. It sounds fake. Yeah, right? Extended car warranty is up. Come on, but this is the part of Christianity, man, that no one wants to talk about. Like, we all want to talk about, man, how God's going to bless you and how God's going to make your life better, man, and how God's going to shower his goodness on you and his kindness on you. Amen. God loves you so much. Man, but no one wants to talk about, man, when you do this Jesus thing right, guess what? People aren't going to like you. Like we're being honest in the room tonight. Like, if I'm doing this Jesus thing right, man, if I'm really living out the gospel and what's in this book, man, if I'm really standing up for righteousness, man, then the people of the world are going to have a problem with it. Why? Because it's going to be like oil hitting water. And it's not going to mix. It's not going to mix, y'all. See, and the issue is that we have so many Christians, right, is that they want to be attractive to the world. And so they're trying to mix it up, man. I'm trying to look like the world. I'm trying to, like, y'all, listen, I am always fascinated by how many believers are so captivated with the world. They're so captivated with this singer and that rap artist and this rap artist. And I'm like, don't you guys realize, man, that you're supposed to be like oil and water? You're supposed to, man. Are you guys with me tonight? Listen, a gospel that does not include suffering is a false gospel. Hear me tonight. A gospel that does not include suffering is a false gospel because it's the exact opposite of what Jesus just told us. Is that I need to accept the fact tonight that means that I am called to suffer for his name's sake. Dude, you're the man, bro. Thank you so much. Right? Are you guys still with me? Are you guys still with me? So listen, Jesus makes it clear that if you truly follow him, if you bear his name and his standards, you will be persecuted. Because of who I carry and because of the stand that I take for his kingdom and his righteousness, and it is in direct opposition to the values of the kingdom of the world, of this world. It's in direct opposition, guys. See, I love, man, the word persecuted, are you guys ready? The word persecuted, it means this. It means to inflict suffering. It means to inflict injury or even death on people who hold beliefs that the establishment frowns on. This is like a really popular, if this is your first time here tonight, like it's not usually this heavy. Okay. But this is the gospel. This is the, like when the early church got saved, they realized, man, that they were signing up for a destiny. Like whenever Nero was slaughtering Christians in Colosseums, like whenever Nero was taking Christians and putting them on stakes and burning them alive to light up his garden. Like, y'all, listen, there are reports. Oh, man, our hearts is all jacked up, huh? Anyways, there are reports, man, of like blood-filling Colosseums. So like the point where like the blood is off the ground from Christians being slaughtered. Is that, man, I am called to suffer for his name's sake. And listen, I know what you're thinking, but Pastor Josh, that was Rome. This is America. Y'all, listen, all because we're in America, that doesn't mean we're not called to suffer for his name's sake. Because once again, like, this is not Christianity versus America. This is Jesus versus the world. Not versus the world, but Jesus in the world, right? The two don't mix. See, and here's the thing, man, is that I have to understand that people in the world do not find Jesus, the message of the kingdom, and the standards of the kingdom attractive, but to them it's a threat. It's a threat, man. It's a threat to their sin, it's a threat to their lifestyle, and it's a threat to their ability to be their own gods and determine what's right for self. So when I begin to preach Jesus and when I begin to live a lifestyle that reflects the kingdom, it's like oil hitting water. Listen, friend, tonight, realize this, is that they will mock you. They will lie about you. They will verbally abuse you. They will reject you. They will despise you. And man, you may even suffer physical injury. Like, you may even lose your life. Like, catch that, guys. Catch, like, I know this is heavy, and I know this isn't, like, the normal, like, youth ministry message. Guys, but this is something, man, that the early church knew and they understood. See, the world, like, to the world, finding righteousness and craving righteousness, what we talked about last week, it's distasteful. Like, it doesn't make sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, you go to your friends who are living in the world or that they're not saved, and you're like, it doesn't make sense to them why you refuse to join in dirty jokes. It doesn't make sense to them why you say no to sex before marriage. Like, it doesn't make sense to them why you don't sexualize the opposite sex. It doesn't make sense to them, man, like why you don't want to look at pornography. It doesn't make sense to them, man, that you don't cuss when everyone else does. It doesn't make sense to them, man, that you don't accept homosexuality as an acceptable lifestyle even though you love the people. It doesn't make sense, right? Like why you don't hate your haters. Like why you choose to love those who persecute you. It doesn't make sense why you respect your parents and you honor your parents, even though maybe they're bad parents. Like to them, it doesn't make sense because they don't have the same standard. When it's like oil hitting water, it's two different kingdoms. And guess what? It never will make sense. Are you guys hearing me tonight? You know, there's a quote that says this by a guy named John Stout. It says, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will suffer for the righteousness that they crave. Matthew 10, verse 16 through 22, it says this. It says, Jesus said, look, I am sending you, ready? Out as a sheep among wolves. Like, isn't that comforting? It says, so be as shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves, but beware, for you will be, somebody say will be, handed over to the courts, and you will be, somebody say will be, flogged with whips in the synagogues, and you will stand trial for governors and kings because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell the rulers and other unbelievers about me. When you are arrested, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time. Verse 20, for it is not you who will be speaking, it is the spirit of your father speaking through you. Verse 21, a brother will betray his brother to death. A father will betray his own child. And children will rebel against their parents and cause them to be killed. Listen to verse 22. And all nations will hate you. Why? Because you are my followers. But everyone who endures to the end will be saved. Guys, it's so important that you get this and that you understand this, man, because more than ever, I believe that there's a line being drawn in our nation in the sand where it's going to be obvious on which side you stand. It's going to be obvious on what you believe. It's going to be obvious, man, am I saved or am I not saved? And so many people are unprepared. Because all they know, man, is that Jesus loves them. And all they know is that God is kind. And all they know is, but they have no clue, man, that they're actually called to suffer for his namesake. They have no clue, man, that people may mock me. And that people may reject. Yo, and like, yo, forget about the line in the future. Like, what about today in your school? Come on, like, when you begin to stand up for righteousness, right, when you begin, like, when you don't talk like everyone else talks, when you're not whatever doing, like, name it, what happens, man? People talk about you. Man, they mock you. They lie about you. They slander you. Why? Because your lifestyle, it doesn't make sense to them because it's like oil hitting water. It's two different kingdoms clashing. And so, man, my burden for you tonight is simply this. It's you have to understand that if you are really going to follow Jesus and say yes to what he says yes to and say no to what he says no to, is that you will suffer for his sake. Like, please get that tonight. Guys, like, and here's the thing. Like, get this, please. Is that suffering for Jesus was never meant to be optional. Like, suffering for Jesus was never meant to be optional. Like, it was never meant to be this thing where, oh, yeah, the church in China, that's for them. See, because here's the truth. If I'm really preaching the gospel like I'm called to, I mean, if I'm really praying for the sick like I'm called to, if I'm really rejecting the ways of this world and saying yes to God's standard like I'm supposed to, then here's the truth. At some point, man, I will be persecuted. Why? Because it's like oil hitting water. See, being despised, rejected, verbally abused, slandered, persecuted is a normal thing for Christians. I know this is making everybody in the room tonight want to get saved. Listen to this quote by a guy named Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who is a preacher in the middle of the Nazi regime, who stood up for the gospel and he lost his life for it. Oh, I'm sorry, it's not up there, it's here. It says, suffering then, listen to this, suffering then is the badge of true discipleship. The disciple is not above his master. Following Christ means suffering because we have to suffer. That is why Luther reckoned suffering among the marks of the true church in one of the memoranda drawn up in preparation. I'm going to skip that part. Listen to this. Discipleship means allegiance to the suffering of Christ, and it is therefore not all surprising that Christians should be called upon to suffer. In fact, it is a joy and a token of his grace. Hear that part. It is a joy and a token of his grace. See, I believe there's something wrong when we don't suffer. Like, and if I can be honest with you guys, as I was prepping this message, and I was reading this, I go, man, in fact, me and Pastor Sam were talking. Like, and I go, bro, I don't suffer like that. Like, I'm not mocked, I'm not persecuted, and I'm not rejected like that. And it's not because, like, no one wants to do it. Like, and I'm not saying, like, we're going out, like, looking for suffering or whatever. Like I don't want to paint that picture. But like, what I'm trying to say is that when you live the gospel the right way, is that, man, it's going to happen. And so I begin to take an evaluation of my heart and my life, because here's the truth, man, is that I have to ask myself these questions. Am I preaching the gospel like I'm called to? Am I demonstrating the gospel like I'm called to? Right? And am I saying yes to what Jesus says like I'm called to? Because, like, here's the truth, is that if I'm doing those things right, is that somewhere along the way, is that, man, I'm probably going to encounter persecution in some way. Like, and it's so important that you guys get this, because, you know, in what's the scripture? In Mark chapter 4, Jesus talks about, once again, how our hearts are like soil. And he says that he gives some different scenarios of the soil that the seed or that the word or that the gospel is planted in. And one of them is a soil that's shallow, because there's a bedrock on the bottom of it. And what happens is that the seed gets planted and that it sprouts up really quick, right? But because the roots have nowhere to go, when the sun comes out and it hits the plant, is that the plant will eventually die, because the roots have nowhere to go. And Jesus said this, because the disciples, after Jesus had this talk, they said, what in the world does that mean, Jesus? And he said this, he said, it is like those who hear the gospel, hear the truth, and receive it with joy. And man, they're like that plant that sprouts up. But whenever suffering comes, whenever persecution comes, whenever pressure comes, is that they're gonna die because their soil is shallow. Like, that's why you have to know, is that, man, if I'm doing this Jesus thing right, man, guess what? Is that you're not going to be the most popular person in school. Like, if I'm, listen, is that, like, we spend so much time trying to blend in. We spend so much time trying to, like, and I'm talking to me, guys, here, like, protect our self-comfort. And there's, like, so much self-preservation. Because, like, think about it for a second. Like, why am I not preaching the gospel like I'm called to, man? Why am I not saying yes to the things that God has called me to say yes to? And why am I not praying for the sick? Like, when God taps me on the shoulder and he says, hey, I want you to go tell that person that I love them in your school, and your heart starts beating fast, and you're like, okay, God, I'm going to do it. Oh, no, 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 okay, okay. Okay, God, I'm going to do it. Oh, no, no, okay, okay. You know, and you go the other way. I've been there countless times. Why do we go the other way? Why don't we stand up for righteousness like we're called to? Why? Because we want to protect self. I want to protect my comfort. God, it's so inconvenient for me to go tell that person. Or God, what if they ask me a question I don't know? Right? Or God, like, what if they say something? God, what if they mock me? God's like, hey, I want you to go pray for that person. What if they don't get healed? Then I'm going to look dumb, God. Right? Self-preservation. And guys, listen, if we're going to do this thing right, man, like, if we're going to do this thing God's way, then, man, I got to die to self. I got to die to self-preservation. Is that it's not me. It is not about me protecting my life. It is not me protecting my image, man. It is not about me becoming likable. And if you're popular, I'm not saying that like you're in sin or anything like that, okay? But what I am saying is that so many times, man, is that we guard our social status because we're trying to fit in because we want to be liked. Guys, but I was never called to be liked. Like, I was never called to fit in to this world here. You know, is that the Bible says, man, that I'm from a different world. The Bible says that this earth is not my home, man, that I'm just passing through. You know, when I look at the early churchmen, even when I look at the disciples, who Jesus was directly speaking to in these passages. Did you know that 11 of the 12, all of them died for the gospel? 11 of the 12 did. Really, I guess you could say 10 of the 11, not counting Judas. And then the one who didn't die was John. And they tried to kill John. They tried to boil him alive, but he wouldn't die. So they end up not knowing what to do with John. And so they exiled him to some island. He says, bro, you just won't die. Like, guys, I think of the early church about how, when they would put them on poles and they would begin to fillet their skin and they would be hanging there getting their skin filleted and they would still be preaching the gospel. You know, when Paul wrote to Timothy and he says, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind, man. That's because outside of Timothy's city, there was lines and lines of crosses of Christians hanging on them to try to discourage people from becoming Christians and following Jesus. Man, I don't know about you, but if I can look at myself, I think, man, I've gotten a little too comfortable. I've gotten a little too used to my convenience. Like, when I think of Paul, guys, and I think about how, Paul says this, he says, man, for the sake of the gospel, I've been beaten with rods, I've been flogged with whips, man. I've been shipwrecked for the sake of the gospel, lost literally in the middle of the ocean for a day. He says, man, I live in peril. I live in nakedness, man. I live in hunger. Is that, man, I am in and out of prison on a constant basis. Why? Because I'm preaching the gospel. He said, this will cost you something. That's what I'm trying to say tonight. I'm not trying to say, oh, man, I'm going out looking for suffering, you know? Hey, do you want to mock me today? That's not what I'm saying. I'm trying to prepare you. Because, man, is that when you begin to adopt these flowers in your life, when you begin to plant these principles in your life, is that they're going to look way different than what the world does. And the world is going to reject you because of it. And I was thinking today, man, I was like, why? Why were Christians able to be crucified? Why was John able to be buried alive and still preach the gospel? Why when Peter, when they were gonna crucify Peter, just like Jesus did, Peter said this, he said, no, crucify me upside down because I'm not worthy to die the same death as Jesus did. Why when Peter and John in Acts chapter 4, man, from healing the man at Gate Beautiful and preaching in the name of Jesus, they were brought in and they were told not to preach in the name of Jesus and they were beaten for it. And the Bible says they left there praising God, that they were considered worthy of the honor. Hear that phrase, worthy of the honor to suffer for his name's sake. Why? How? And I think it's, number one, I think it's because they saw the beauty of Jesus. Number two, I think it's because they knew this world was not their home. Right? Jesus says at the end of this verse, and we'll close here, that you guys can stand up for me. And right, with every eye closed and every head bowed. Jesus said, man, at the end of that verse in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, he says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Is that, guys, realize tonight that this earth is not your home. Come on, if you're a born-again believer in this place tonight, if you have accepted Jesus as the Lord of your life, man, then this earth is not your home. And because this earth is not your home, man, that if I'm doing this thing right, man, if I'm doing what Jesus tells me to do, is that there's a good chance is that I may suffer for his namesake. Man, and may we be considered worthy of such an honor. So, man, with every eye closed and every head bowed, I want to pray for two things tonight. Number one, you guys know it's always salvation. If you're in this place tonight and you do not know Jesus, Jesus is not the Lord of your life. You are not in relationship with God. I'm not talking about if you know church. I'm talking about, is Jesus the Lord of your life? Have you placed your faith on him to save you and to redeem you from hell and from your sins and from the power of your sin? So if the answer to that is no, man, I got really good news for you. John 3:16. For God loved the world so much that he sent his one and only son, right, to die for us, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. So if you're in this room tonight and you want to give your life to Jesus, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Is there anybody in the room tonight? Thank you. I see your hand in the back. Come on. Is there anybody else tonight? Beautiful. I want everyone to pray this with me. I want you to say, God, thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. Right now, I repent of my sins. Come on, say it again. Say, I repent of my sins. Say, Jesus, I choose you. Come and be the Lord of my life. Forgive me for living against you and in opposition to you. Right now, I accept your free gift of salvation. Make me new. Cleanse me by your blood. I place my faith in you to save me from hell and from my sin. In Jesus' name, amen. The second thing I want to pray for tonight is this, is that, man, if you're in this room tonight and you say, dude, I want boldness. Like, I feel led tonight to pray for boldness. Boldness, man, that I'm going to live the gospel. I'm going to stand up for righteousness. Is that, man, I'm going to preach the gospel. And, man, I'm going to demonstrate the gospel with signs, wonders, and miracles, no matter what it costs me, even if I have to suffer for his namesake. No matter the cost, whatever it takes. And you want boldness tonight to do that like you're called to do it. I want you to raise your hands on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Come on, Jesus, you see all of our hands that are up tonight. Jesus, just like they prayed in Acts chapter 4, they said, God, give us boldness. God, give us boldness, God. God, to preach the gospel and that you would stretch forth your hands and do signs and wonders among us, God. Father, tonight we ask, God, that you would give us boldness, Jesus, like we've never had before. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come on, Jesus, do it, do it, do it. Come on, I want you to begin to ask God from where you're at right now. Just say, God, give me boldness. God, give me boldness. Father, I thank you, God, that we would no longer, God, be scared of suffering in the room tonight. God, that we would no longer be scared of being mocked and despised and being rejected for your namesake, God, but we would realize that that is a normal mark of Christianity. God, that's a normal mark of what we're called to do and who we're called to be, Jesus. And so, Father, tonight, and Father, I even thank you, God, that you said in that verse, man, be glad, rejoice, be very glad. I thank you, Jesus, man, that God, that whenever we get rejected for the gospel, man, that's going to be something, man, that we can rejoice about. That we can say, yo, guess what, man? I just got mocked. Man, I just got persecuted. Man, I just got rejected. Why? Because I stood up for Jesus. Because I was loyal to Jesus. And because I was loyal to his ways. So thank you, Father, for that tonight. We love you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen.